we are just starting a new year. Happy New Year again, as Brian said. For many of you, braving just being up this morning is an act of sacrifice and worship, so that's an awesome thing. We're going to celebrate the new year, in fact, a little bit. Actually, youth, as I forgot to mention, you guys are welcome to head on out with Mark and Amy. That's 6th through 12th grade, if you're new with us. Mark and Amy lead an awesome band of youth every week, so they can jump on outside right now. All right. So there's always lots of buzz about the new year, and people like to reflect and look back on the last year, looked ahead, and so we're going to do that a little bit. Before jumping back into our series on Mark, I want to pause and seize this moment a little bit and just kind of ask, why do so many people love the new year? Why is it so important all across the world? And there are some really fun pictures on the internet last night on the news. It's amazing how quickly the news can transfer around the world. Right, going to bed last night and just saw some pictures of different celebrations in different cultures, different countries around the world. It's amazing that, you know, as the New Year's coming in, it's just snapshots and they're instantly, you know, on our computers, and we can just see like the world celebrating the New Year's as it's happening. It's pretty remarkable. But I want to start with something here, and we'll get back to what I was just going at. But show of hands here. How many of you, other than Brian, we know what his is, has ever made a New Year's resolution? Yep. All right, let's have a little fun and talk about that. Why don't you turn to someone around you and share, what is a memorable New Year's resolution for you? So go ahead and share that. Share only what you wouldn't mind me sharing with anyone else. All right, let's hear them. Let's hear some New Year's resolutions. What come to mind here? Not to make another one. I've given up on them. Never making them again. See if you can keep it. All right, what else? All right, quit smoking. That's a pretty good one. What else? Stop smoking. We got two. All right, cool. What else? We just got a new one. That wasn't the inspiration that I think was meant to happen when Brian was up here. What's that? Save more money. That's a good one. What else? Lose weight, be healthy. All right, here's a question. Who's ever kept a New Year's resolution more than a year? Anybody? Dang. And what was it? What was it back here? Dang, awesome. All right, so we got two people. Same one, more than a year. What about, who's not kept one? Who's kept one less than a week? What was it? You have a recurring New Year's resolution? All right, okay. That's good. Yeah, they are hard to keep. But I want to talk here and transition that a little bit. New Year's resolutions, I think, are popular because all of us can feel all across the planet that we regularly need a shot of new life infused into our veins, into our being. We can see that around the world. I want to show some funny pictures that are interesting. They're a powerful testimony of people wanting, needing a fresh start, a new perspective, a new passion, a new purpose. So let's check this one out here. Kind of hard to see. It's a little bright up there. What this is this is a guy from Mumbai, India. Well, that's really bright. This guy over here who's smoking, he needs that New Year's resolution. But he is he's lighting on fire what they call an old man effigy. So it's not a real person, but it's a person dressed up in clothes, and that's like themselves in like a bag that they've decorated. And the idea is you're going to light on fire this old person and get rid of bad memories. So in the new year, only good memories. Kind of interesting. Interesting little, I picture this guy kind of a mobster. He's got the little, Happy New Year, you know. Goodbye to bad memories. And then he lights this guy on fire. But it's himself, so it's kind of weird. But anyways, here's another one. This is in Pakistan. There's a barber. Oh, this is really hard to see. That's disappointing. This guy, is his head is down like this, and the barber is cutting 2012. In his, not cutting, like, you know, haircut. A little shaving in his head, 2012. So that's just kind of, have you guys ever done that? Anybody been at a New Year's party? You'd be like, yeah! You know, like, you don't have to, like, blow the whistle, you know, the noise makers. You just, like, you know, shake your head around and everybody gets excited. So that's what this guy's doing, interestingly enough. And then we got one more here. This is a little bit, this is in the Netherlands, and this is a bunch of Dutch people who are going for a swim in the icy cold, what's it called? The icy cold Northern Sea. They play a big game of Where's Waldo, right? Now, actually, this is kind of like the polar bear plunge. They go in the almost frozen Northern Sea, New Year's Day, and freeze, because that's going to make you feel better to start the year. So, it was honestly done to, it says, boost one's stamina, virility, and immunity. So, we're going to try that afterwards. We got a hose outside. See if it's, no. Anyways, these are just a few of the pictures from around the world from yesterday. Seeing, though, that there's this very natural human desire. We want new direction. We want new hope, new focus, new purpose, new growth. And what we want to focus on today is, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. In fact, I think that may be a very real spiritual longing. Because what we actually see throughout the whole Word of God is that God is in the business of new, all over the place. And today, I simply want to pause and have us be encouraged. And we can take all the stuff from the year ahead, or the year behind, the weariness and maybe the frustration, the worries, the burdens, and the hope, everything we're carrying with us from last year into now 2012, and start this year by bringing it to the one who has the power and the desire to make all things new. So I want to simply encourage us today by seeing how there is some very, very good news that God is in the business of new. And so that longing that we all have for that fresh start, that refreshing, that newness is actually pointed in the right direction, very healthy, because God wants to be the one who makes all things new. So I need your help, though, to start with this. Every time we're going to just look at a few scriptures today. And when we do, when we see those scriptures with the word new in them, I want to know we're tracking together, so I need your help, and I want to hear y'all just bust out, new! Hey, not yet. But thank you. That's what we're doing. So, let's practice. When you see the word new, what do you do? Here we go. New. All right, good. We're going to Lamentations, a book about hard times. But in chapter 3, the lamenter says this. Go ahead and move on to Lamentations 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His mercies never come to an end. They are? They are? There we go. Every morning, great is your faithfulness. That is some really, really good news. How often is God's mercy new? Every morning. We are never allowed to wake up and say, God's over me today. It's done. It's over. I've crossed the line. I've done too much. His mercy towards me has run out. He's tired of me, and he's over me. Now, that's what humans do. That's what you do. I'm over that, dude. I get too much drama in my life, right? That's at times, on our own strength, that's all we've got the capacity for. There's only so many times where I can burn bridges, cause problems, be mean, before a person will just kind of say, hey, I'm done with you. Not so with God. You can't push him away. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His mercies never, never, that's a big word, never come to an end. They are new every morning. Got to let that soak in. I can wake up every day. I can wake up tomorrow knowing God has new mercy for me today. In other words, another way to say this, do you know that each morning that you wake up, God is in a good mood towards you? I mean, can you feel that? How different would your day begin if when you woke up, first thing on your mind, God is in a good mood towards me today, personally? I know that sound a little weird. First time I heard my friend say that, I'm like, that sounds weird. But the more I thought about it, it actually makes really good theological sense. I mean, yeah, it's a metaphor. God's not moody, so you got to be careful with that. But in the same way where that other scripture said his mercies never come to an end, so you could just say they're always there, but the author prophetically and kind of artistically like to say in human language, so therefore every morning they're new. Well, they never end, so why do they need to be new? But it's getting onto, in our minds, we like to think of things, and God likes to allow himself to be thought of in human language that makes sense. And there's this something about when you wake up in the morning, it's a fresh start. So isn't it good news to know that God's mercy is new? In the same way, we think of life in terms of moods. What's your mood? What's your mood? How's people going to treat me today? How's my boss going to treat me? How's my kid going to treat me? How's my wife going to treat me? Isn't it good news to know that God is in a good mood towards you today? So that's what that scripture's saying. And someone may say, well, what if I was a jerk the prior day? What if I didn't deserve for God to be in a good mood? Well, the clear teaching right here and throughout scripture is you never deserve God being in a good mood. We're in trouble if we try to get what we want or get what we deserve. It says right here, it's because of the Lord's love we're not consumed. If we try to play the holy game of like, wow, I'm holy and I've earned it, I've performed it, I've done enough and now I've earned it, whew, we're in trouble. It's because of the Lord's love that we're not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. We don't want to try to play the game where we earn by our goodness a good mood from God. I like to think of this, or what comes to mind is my buddy Bono. We're buddies in the spirit. We're going to be buddies in heaven, I know that. Bono likes to say, it was a cool interview with Bill Hybels, church, Willow Creek Church pastor. And Bono's talked about, we're living in an era of grace. And I like to think that's a powerful understanding of what Jesus has done. That his mercy, because of the work that Jesus has done, God's mercy is new every morning. His mood is good and full of grace, not wrath and vengeance, because of what Jesus has done. He took care of justice. So now God is just, but able to now freely give grace and mercy and undeserved goodness. It's an era of grace. It's an era of undeserved goodness. With Jesus, that's what it's all about. And so in that, we can let it soak if we believe in Jesus and believe that era of undeserved goodness and grace. We can let it soak deep into us that God is in a good mood towards me today because his mercy is new every morning. Quick little side note. Now, that doesn't mean that God's pleased by everything we do. We mess up. We can make boneheaded decisions. And, you know, Brian was honest with some of his stuff. You know, he make silly decisions that we know don't honor God at times. His Holy Spirit will come in and remind us, convict us, correct us. But the point is, even when that happens, it's not because God is trying to get wrathful vengeance. If that was what he wanted, we would be consumed, it says. He only does that because he knows what's best for us, wants our highest good. As Paul says, it's in his kindness that he would lead us to repentance. Even when God shows us knuckleheaded things that we're doing and convicts us, it's in his kindness that he wants us to turn. It's mercy, goodness, and love are God's mood toward you every morning, period, because of what Jesus has done. That is good news to start the year with. I mean, can I get a little amen? You guys feeling that? A little wow. Yes. Some of us need to soak. We all need to soak in this and let it reshape our understanding of God. We all live under a concept and an image of who God is, what God is like, and how God feels about us. We all live under that, whether we know it consciously or not. We live under, well, how does God feel about me? And if God is generally just angry, wrathful, kind of distant, you have to, maybe this concept of I got to earn love, I got to perform, I got to be good enough, I got to get it right, and then I'll get love. How are you going to feel then? You're going to feel anxious, depressed, scared, fearful. Wow. I woke up today and man, I got to perform again. There's so much pressure and oh. On the other hand, if you are soaking in the reality of God's good mood towards you, full of new mercy, grace, love, every morning, think about how that is going to translate into, well, how should I feel then? Well, there's peace. The pressure's off to perform. Wow, that's, I can feel some freedom today to just be loved, just to be his child with whom he is well pleased because of Jesus. That's soaking in our identity that because of Jesus, God is in a good mood towards me every day I wake up. That will change your life. Let that be the meditation that comes in as soon as you wake up. It will change your life. Another one here. Let's go to Isaiah 43. 18 and 19, need to work on some new things in life. God's advice to his people was this: forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am about to do a thing, and now it springs forth. Excuse me. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Real quick, side note, we got to be careful here on one level. This verse is not saying that the past is not important. All throughout Scripture, God regularly calls his people to remember the past. For the past is who we are in the present. Who you are today, January 1st, 2012, is everything that you've been in 2011, 10, and however long you've existed, your entire past is who you are in the present. And the Bible affirms this over and over as God calls us to remember the past because it enables us to know who we are, where we've been, what God's done, what God's healed us from, what he's done in our life, where we'd be without him. So there's all sorts of scriptures about remembering the past. But what's going on here is there can also be the reality, and that's what these people were going through, that we can get so wrapped up in our past and what happened in the past and caged in by the past that we can miss that God wants to do something new. Yes, very new. Only when we read Scripture. In other words, a very, very powerful truth that God is trying to teach his people, therefore teach us, that the pattern of our past does not have to be the path of our future. Does that make sense? The pattern of our past does not have to be the path of our future. With God, that doesn't have to be. He can do and does and wants to do something new. That's why he says in this verse, I will make a way in the wilderness. What does that mean? Make a way in the wilderness. Well, picture a wilderness of just this vast wasteland. You're just going around. You want to get out of there, but you don't even know which way is north. I don't see any mountains. It's just horizon all the way around and just desert wasteland. How do I get out of here? There's no roads. But I want to get out of here. That's where God's coming in saying, I will make a way in the wilderness. I will make a road out where there are no roads. He's kind of saying, do you feel that? Can you feel that in your life? Where there's situations, patterns, vicious cycles of junk, of baggage, where it kind of feels like, what is the road out of here? I have no idea. I'm just going in circles. I'm spinning my wheels, and I cannot get out. There's a same old pattern. It could be that same old pattern of fighting in a relationship. It happens again and again and again. And how do we get out? I have no idea. It just keeps going on. Or it could be that same old temptation that I just keep getting sucked into. Why do I keep falling in this area? I have no idea. I can't even see a road out. Could be the same old situation of that gets me despairing and down, of like, this happens and I get so down, I get so despairing, I'm so bummed. How do I stop feeling this way? I don't even know. That's the stuff that God's talking about. And God's promising that he has the ability and the desire to forge a new path and get you out. But there's a kicker that he says. He's promising to build a road out of the wilderness, but the problem for us is he wants to build the road. Now, what does that mean? That means we have to let go of the control of having things the way they've always been. And that is really hard for everybody. One of our most natural human fears is to not be in control and go into the unknown, where you have to trust somebody outside yourself to take you to a place that you don't even know where it is. You can't even see beyond the horizon, and you can't even see this person, for crying out loud. And you're supposed to let go of it all and say, okay, I don't even know where I'm going. I don't know how to get there. I trust you, though. That is so hard to do. And that's why people get so trapped in situations and patterns and vicious cycles that we know are harmful to our health. We know we don't like it. We hate it, in fact. It's producing stinky fruit that we can't stand. But we stay there because at least it's familiar. You kind of get used to the desert. It becomes a place of orientation where at least we're in control. Well, at least I'm familiar with this vast wasteland around me, and it's kind of been my home now. I don't like it, but at least I know where I am, and I feel somewhat safe because I'm in control. And God's saying, no. I will make a road out, but you got to let go of all of that. That's his incredibly hard, but breathtaking and hopeful invitation in this verse. Those past patterns, stinky fruit, they're killing you, don't have to be the path of the future. So letting go of that bitterness to be filled with new mercy. Letting go of the worries to be replaced with new peace. Letting go of past boredom with life to be on a new adventure with him. Letting go of past emptiness and just wandering around and never satisfied deep in your soul to new joy with him. Letting go of old pain that just gets you down every day to new healing. Those are the kinds of things. God loves to take these destructive patterns, the stinky fruit, and say, let me make a way out. Are you willing to let go? And let me do it. That's good news. All right, one more, and we'll close. Jump into the New Testament in Colossians. You ready, Mike? It's your turn's coming up here. Chapter 3. Paul's talking about this new creation of being a follower of Jesus. And he says, put off the old self with its practices and put on the
new
self, which is being I kind of caught you. Yeah, where were you, huh? Renewed in the knowledge of and the image of its creator. This is another extremely important verse for our lives. It has a picture of our purpose and our destiny. We were made in the image of our creator, but there's this fall, there's this junk that just marred it, and we're just floundering around. But we were made to reflect Jesus' character through relational time spent with him, being with him. We become like him. When we fall short of this, though, and ignore this, life gets really messy. We struggle through life, wandering, unsatisfied, wrestling, bored, despairing. But the good news here, God is in the business of giving us a new self, period, in which we are being transformed to be more like Jesus. That's your destiny. It's your purpose. It's what you're made for. That's when life will make sense and be what you know it's meant to be. But there's a key phrase in here that's relevant for every person in this room. It says that our new self is being renewed. Now, I want to go grammar on us for a minute. If you've been with me for a while, I've made a joke of this before. I never liked grammar in school. I always thought you had to be a real nerd to be excited about tenses and prepositions and clauses and whatever stuff, you know. I stunk in grammar. I was bad in grammar. Some of you are like, yeah, I've heard you. Anyways, I got converted. I did. The more I was in school, I kind of came to this realization, wow, when you understand grammar, it actually really helps you to understand the word of God. So it's kind of like backdoor. For the love of God, I'll put up with you grammar nerds. Anyways, I'm a grammar nerd now, so I can say that. Anyways, it says, notice this with me. It says the new self, which we all want to find in God, check this phrase, is being renewed. Now that is a present continuous tense. I don't even know if that's the formal name for it. I didn't feel like looking it up. But the point is there is an ongoing development. Another way to say it is it's a continual process. It's not one and done. It's not, oh, that was nice and now it's in the past, or now it's all in the future. Present continuous. Life with God is a process. We are on a journey in which, here's the key words, there is always hope that God will grow us and change us. There's always more. There's always hope that things can and will get better with God. That is awesome news, because the last place you ever want to be when it's hard is stuck. Man, my life stinks, and I am running around in this pattern. My life doesn't stink, I'm being hypothetical. My life stinks, and I'm stuck in this pattern, and it's just killing me, and I feel the bad fruit. And man, but I'm stuck. I got no way out. There's a wilderness. You do have a way out. The message of hope and truth from this verse is with God, you are never stuck. That is some really good news to start the year. Whoever, whatever that fruit is, that jerk of a husband that I was yesterday, and that could be me, I don't have to be that tomorrow. The impatient parent I was yesterday doesn't have to be the parent I am tomorrow. The selfish friend I was yesterday doesn't have to be the friend I am tomorrow. The irresponsible kid, the whatever it means, the one who's lonely, depressed, fearful, anxious, whatever you are, and you know you weren't meant to be, and it's stinky fruit that's not Holy Spirit kingdom fruit, that doesn't have to be who you are tomorrow, because there's always hope, and you're never stuck, because you are being renewed. as a follower of Jesus. Now that is some good news. Because he wants to make everything new. I want to close with this last verse in Revelation. I'm just going to jump down to the end. We're talking Revelation. This is heaven. But if you know the book of Mark, as we've been going through it, Jesus says heaven begins now. His ministry is to bring more and more of heaven to earth. And listen to how Jesus describes his own ministry. He says, the one who is seated on the throne says, I am making all things. This sums up the heart of Jesus' ministry, is to make all things new. Nothing is outside the scope of what he wants to and will make new or renew to the humble, dependent follower of him. That is great news. So let's take all the hope of a new year, all the burdens that we may have brought with us from last year, and begin 2012 by bringing it all to the one who has the power, because we don't, the one that has the power and the will and the desire and is in the good mood to make all things new. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to exalt you. You are the one we are looking for. You are our Savior. You are the one on the throne. You are the King of Kings. You are the only one that can make a way out of the wilderness. Thank you, Lord God, that you would desire to do that with us, for us. That is incredible, God. That is incredible. That you do not leave us to wake up alone in the morning. It was your choice to come from heaven to earth and through hell and back so that we could wake up in the morning knowing that you are in a good mood towards us with new mercy every morning so that we are never stuck. Thank you, Lord, for this foundational hope to start a new year and to start every day on. There's always more with you. We just want to bless you, Lord, today and praise you. We want to soak in that because there's nowhere else that we could find this. There's nowhere else that we could legitimately grab hold of this. So I just pray, Lord, you can come and continue to minister to each of us individually as we need it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at weareelevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/weareelevation.